It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We tour through some recent bills signed into law by Governor Tony Evers that were authored or co-authored by Representative Jerry O'Connor of Fond du Lac. One makes changes to state laws governing financial service providers, modernizing money transmission systems. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. O'Connor is a Republican who represents a district in East Central Wisconsin. Representative O'Connor, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Well, before we get to the legislation, let's touch down on the constitutional amendments that were passed last week by voters that would keep non-governmental funds out of state elections and regulate how elections are administered. What do you make of these amendments?
Well, we found ourselves with two sets of circumstances we've never faced in Wisconsin before. For the most of the country had not seen us prior to 2020. In the case of Wisconsin, we had nearly $10 million brought in by an organization that was related to Mark Zuckerberg. And those monies were used to provide certain forms of help. I've never seen a contract as to how that worked. But we had $8.8 million went into five Democrat areas. And we know that the number one strategy for Democrats is to get out of the vote for existing Democrat voters. It just creates an uncomfortable situation. And I would comment to this extent, this doesn't matter whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I believe that elections and local elections should be governed, paid for, and protected by the local clerks, whether it's city, county, village, whatever that case might be. I think it just keeps it more of a sacred right and a sacred control in Wisconsin. So I've supported the bill to outlaw, and again, I'm going to say those kinds of monies coming in, regardless if it has a Democrat support behind it or a Republican support.
Do these changes to the law, to our Constitution, do they need any clarification by the Wisconsin Elections Commission?
I don't think there's a bill that comes out of the legislature that doesn't end up having to go through some kind of review and some kind of refinement. And this one will be the same.
Let's turn to the financial industry. Governor Evers signed into law a bill you wrote called the Money Transmission Modernization Act. You released a statement saying you are proud of this bill because of your history in banking. What will this law change for people in Wisconsin?
Well, my background is I was president of a community bank in Waupun, Wisconsin, for quite a number of years. So Department of Financial Institutions came to me with this. They had been working on this for several years. It's a put together by a number of state organizations of financial institution leadership around the country. This is, if I recall, this bill was 113 pages. It is great nighttime reading. It will put you to sleep in a heartbeat. But what I really liked about the bill is they went in and there were several different categories of lending that some of the languages in the statutes dated back into the 60s. And they really needed to be updated, clarified, move away from it required a paper application to get a license and then annual renewals, removing language like that and making it clear. So with the Department of Financial Institutions as well, the different entities that were going to be governed by this or subjected to the changes all had representatives in the room. So it was really a nice piece of work. In terms, and I'm giving credit to other people right now, of getting all the stakeholders in the room to agree to the languages. When I came in, I looked at it as a banker who had been regulated by the financial institution group. And if there's anything I can't stand, it's excess, outdated, unnecessary regulatory language. So I was more than happy to take the lead on this in the assembly. So I'm happy to see this change. For the public, I don't think they will see much change. This is more backroom regulatory type languages.
I wonder, though, for the evolving fintech that consumers are seeing in their lives, like how would virtual currencies or crypto be affected by money transmission modernization?
This area would not cover crypto and digital currency. It is one that I should comment when you bring up digital currency. It is an issue that's being reviewed. To a certain extent, digital currency has been a bit of the Wild West, or like the oil rigs of early last century. It's something that does need to be regulated in a reasonable manner. So I expect that will be done in the next number of years.
We're talking about new state laws with Jerry O'Connor, State Assembly Representative for Wisconsin's 52nd District. Call in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to human trafficking. As you chair the Speaker's Task Force on Human Trafficking, several bills you worked on were signed into law, which you say will help reduce the level of human trafficking in our state. How will these laws improve upon the effects of existing human trafficking laws?
We address the issue of human trafficking in general, but more specifically, it was sex-related trafficking. It was an eye-opening exercise. We held four public hearings around the state of Wisconsin. We heard seriously just phenomenal speakers come and make presentations. And the speakers would have included different areas of law enforcement from our Department of Justice in Madison, the State Attorney General's office, Dane County task force leader, same for Madison, went over to Milwaukee, did the same thing. And what we also included were a number of support organizations that work with women attempting to get out of sex trafficking. And I will tell you, it's a very difficult challenge. Here's what you'd find is somewhere in the range of 60 to something above 60% of all women that end up in sex trafficking start as teenagers, as early as 13 or 14 years old. They end up having a groomer who becomes their trafficker. They literally go out and look for somebody that doesn't fit, somebody that doesn't appear to have friends. And they befriend them. They bring them into what's called the life. And out of that, they become their provider for everything. So oftentimes these young women don't graduate from high school. They have no skills. They have no work record. If they wanted to go out and get a job, they have no housing. It is a modern form of slavery.
We talked with the nonprofit Shared Hope International that gave our state an F grade on its report card for child and youth sex trafficking. What is lacking in prevention and care for survivors in Wisconsin?
I think the first thing is awareness at every level of our society that's appropriate. The second thing is what we discovered, and this was brought up by law enforcement itself, as well as attorney generals, county attorney generals, and that is there's no shared data within Wisconsin. So what might be going on in Brown County, somebody in Dane County wouldn't have a clue. What was the level of trafficking? What was the trend? Was it related to events? Was it stationary? Was it mobile? So one of the bills is setting up a sex trafficking council whereby all of this information will be collected by the Department of Justice and put into a database that's accessible by any law enforcement throughout the state. And beyond that, the victim support organizations would have access to that information. And they also can provide information because quite frankly, we learned far more from victim support organizations where the trust relationship has been established and the women will share their experience. with the people that are supporting them, they then turn around and are able to bring law enforcement in. So it's number one, if you don't have good data, you don't know how to target your solutions. So this was the most important bill coming out of the task force. And that is, we need good data. We need it accessible to those people that are working in this area. And as you can imagine, not every law enforcement individual is going to be involved in sex trafficking, but they need an awareness of what's going on. They need somebody locally that becomes an expert. And what we did find, the experiences of sex trafficking is far, far greater than expected.
Let's take a call. Frank in Springbrook is here. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Frank Zufall. I'm actually a reporter from northern Wisconsin. I did a story about a human trafficking case up here. I think it was back in 2017, 18, 19. I forgot exactly, but I interviewed a detective from the Green Bay area, and he made a comment I thought was really interesting. He said, if you have a casino in a hotel, you have human trafficking. And he said, he just made that flat out statement. He said, it's just that predominant. I was wondering if there's any special attention to human trafficking and casino operations.
Thank you, Frank. Representative O'Connor.
I believe that is Detective DeZante. I just mentioned from Green Bay, I mentioned the Sex Trafficking Council. I hope that he ends up being selected as one of the members. He is one of the best informed individuals we spoke with. He made that statement to me as well. Now, casinos are owned by the Native American tribes, whichever one it might be. So to that extent, we brought Native American individuals into our task force discussions. And so that gets back to an awareness thing, but we actually can't write a bill to mandate that the casinos would do something specific related to this. But that is true. There are just certain situations that trafficking exists. I think the state records in the last 4 or 5 years have been 798. It's coming off the top of my head. Cases of sex trafficking. On the other hand, we worked with an organization in Oshkosh. They've worked with over 600 women in the last 4 years. You can go up to Green Bay. They've worked with newer organizations, 400 women in the last 2.5 years. You can go to Milwaukee. They will have worked literally with hundreds of women. So it's a far bigger issue. And that's really where we learned the most about where's trafficking taking place, who's being enticed, who's being affected. There is one of the bills, I'm sorry it didn't get passed, but it would have increased the penalty significantly for a purchaser, a John. We'll bring that one back around because you also have to address a combination. The John has a sexual addiction problem, and we would establish a minimum sentence for that individual and then turn around and say, however, we could cut that in half if you attend sex addiction training and complete that course. We need to turn them around, but we also need to make it not comfortable if you're arrested for soliciting prostitution. And to give you an example, by and large in Wisconsin, if you're arrested for soliciting prostitution, your fine will be less than what you paid for the act.
Let's pause there with... Let's pause there with Republican Representative Jerry O'Connor of Fond du Lac giving us context on bills he's introduced this session that were recently signed into law. You have a line to the lawmaker. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Governor Tony Evers takes action on dozens of bills in recent weeks. We dive deeper into some of them with Republican Representative Jerry O'Connor of Fond du Lac, who either authored or co-authored some of these bills. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, earlier in the hour, we talked with Chris O'Leary, the president of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association, publisher of the Tribune Phonograph, about the new law that requires public disclosure if artificial intelligence is used in making political advertisements. And O'Leary said that she thought the law would not be practical to enforce.
The cost of prosecuting something like that is usually pretty intensive, and getting anything tied up in the courts goes on quite a while. And so I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that are taking the time to go after anybody that might have said something about them in a campaign that's untruthful.
What do you make of that concern?
Well, I can't argue with that position when you look at how long it takes something to get through our courts. And that is a problem we face on many fronts. However, it's a bill that would address this more from the perspective of an awareness issue. There's many of the conflicts with candidates where things are being done that don't seem to be acceptable. And in most cases, if it's going to be an issue, it's because they're going to bring it up and they can expose what the other side is doing. I can tell you, I had one of our members of the assembly put together an artificial intelligence piece just to illustrate how this could be. And he used President Trump endorsing his campaign, but in the process, just going off with wild suggestions and statements about the individual. And I don't know, he was too short, too tall, something like that.
So a deep fake.
But it illustrated how easily in today's world that can be done.
So what do you think of perhaps a stiffer penalty than $1,000 per offense, or a ban on AI and political ads altogether?
I would actually support that. I think AI has the capability to interfere in a number of related issues. You could be in the music business and it's got scared the daylights out of you that, you know, you can be copied to an absolute perfect perfection. And so I think we're going to see a lot of battles show up. And ultimately, I think you're correct. You really have to make the penalty sufficient to change behavior.
Turning to finance, you're the first sponsor of a new law that helps to protect some adults from financial exploitation. The law allows certain financiers to take action if they suspect financial exploitation of vulnerable adults. What type of actions could happen here to protect vulnerable people?
This bill, it's related to the vulnerable adults. Now, that's somebody that can be taken advantage of. They could be befriended. It could be someone within a family, because oftentimes there are cases where there's a family member that is withdrawing funds from an account, and the adult, vulnerable adult, not really knowing what's going on. So there's a variety of ways this happens. We didn't craft a bill to do something to someone afterwards. We do have a vulnerable adult bill that was also passed that'll deal with penalties. What we wanted to look at is how can you stop this crime from happening before it is actually pulled off. So in this case, if someone at a financial institution recognizes that, and I can tell you as a president of a bank, this happened in our lobby more times than we can count. And it's a very sad thing to watch. But if you see something's wrong, and here could be a situation where one of the family members has power of attorney and they're the ones removing the money from the account. If it becomes what the financial institution concludes is exploitation, the bank would have the option to contact another family member or another name provided by the vulnerable adult earlier on and say, this is what we're observing. So we're letting you know that you can, so that you can intervene. And that's really the extent of the law, is to provide a heads up. There's something not right here.
The bank could be more proactive, it sounds like, through this law. I want to end here on redistricting. Governor Evers signing the bill earlier this year that changed the way legislative maps are drawn. How will your district be affected by redistricting?
My district's not severely impacted. It changes about 15% of the total residents from further out from Fond du Lac, and I exchange it for the village of North Fond du Lac. So in my case, it's not a big change. I wasn't drawn into a district with another Republican rep, which was done in about 15 cases. For me, it's pretty close to what I experienced in 22 when I ran for office.
Do you plan to run for office again in November?
Yeah.
Representative, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to do so. Thank you for having me.
Republican Representative Jerry O'Connor of Fond du Lac, first elected to the Assembly in 2022, represents a district in East Central Wisconsin. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.